If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahth al-Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker in the studio with us. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to Ramadan and according to Ayatollah Khamenei, of course. Sheikh Javid, let me start off this episode with this question. Is it permissible for individuals to smoke in the month of Ramadan while they're fasting? What if a person is addicted?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to both Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and Grand Ayatollah Sistani, smoking is not allowed as an obligatory precaution in the month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, while fasting, we are talking about a person who is fasting during the day, of course, a person cannot smoke while fasting as an obligatory precaution. And it does not make any difference whether a person is addicted or not addicted. Addiction does not become a license for an individual to smoke, you know. When the scholars actually say that it's not permissible as an obligatory precaution, obviously the fast becomes affected. The fast becomes wide again based on an obligatory precaution.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. A pregnant woman, Sheikh Javid, does not know whether fasting will harm the baby or not. Does she have to fast, though?
Well, it depends on whether she fears or not, or does not, whether fasting is harmful for the baby or not, whether she's going to be affected by the fast, or whether fast is going to somehow make her health, you know, bad or not. So in that case, if it is feared that fasting might actually hamper mm-hmm. her poor state of health, or maybe her, may cause her body to become weak, and as a result, the baby might get affected somehow, or maybe even fasting may lead to some kind of miscarriage. In some cases, you know, it has been reported that the fasting might lead to miscarriage. If there's genuine fear that mm-hmm. the fasting might have such negative effects on her, then it's not permissible to fast.
I see. Let me ask you a quick question before our break, and then, we'll have a longer question coming up.
Sure.
What is the Islamic law, Sheikh Javid, about breastfeeding women?
Breastfeeding, if there is fear of harm to her baby due to a decrease in the quantity of milk, or it's drying up caused by fasting, of course, she should break the fast, you know. She should not allow her, you know, her milk to, the quantity of her milk to get or to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And for every day in this case, of course, she has to give one mud of foodstuff. Mm-hmm. That is a kind of fidya that is given by her. And of course, this I have said it time and again, that one mud of foodstuff is equal to 750 grams of food. And the food can be in the form of noodles, in the form of rice or flour or, you know, barley or bread or anything. So, and obviously when she does not observe fast, she has to give also the qadha of the missed fast. She mm-hmm. should, perform the qadha.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
العلي العظيم سبحان
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to fasting and Ramadan. Before the break, I asked you a question about the pregnant women and breastfeeding women, Sheikh Javid. Imagine this situation or scenario that a pregnant woman fasted while she was breastfeeding her baby. And when she delivered, the baby was found dead. So there was a miscarriage. Sure. From the beginning, she had thought that her fasting might be harmful, but she still fasted. All right?
Yeah.
So was her fasting, first of all, valid? And second, is she also liable to pay the blood money for the dead baby? And number three, what is the ruling in her case if she did not think that fasting would be harmful but later found it to be otherwise?
Well, according to what Ayatollah Khamenei, you know, says, if she fasted even after she had reasonable fears that fasting would be harmful to her or her baby, or for example, or she discovered later that fasting was harmful to herself or her baby, then her fast is invalid, you know, because she had fear. Mm-hmm. And that fear, as I have said many times,
yes,
is sufficient for an individual to avoid fasting, because in that case, of course, fasting becomes haram when one has genuine fear that fasting might have a very, or maybe a relatively negative impact on her health. And in that case, of course, not only the fast becomes void, but she has to observe the qada also. She has to perform the qada. And when it comes to the liability of paying the blood money, you know, because that's also a very important question, whether she's liable to pay the blood money or not, it depends upon actually proving that her fasting caused the death of the fetus. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be proved. And unless it's proved, of course, the woman or the mother is not liable for the blood money or for the, you know, for the, you call it, diya.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the last question then? What is the ruling in her case if she did not think that fasting would be harmful, but later found it to be otherwise?
You know, if she did not think, of course, she had, you know, she was allowed according to Islamic Sharia. She was allowed, and obviously in that case, she has, you know, every reason to say that I was pretty confident, mm-hmm, that fasting would not affect my health. So she started fasting, and later she realized that fasting was harmful to her health.
Yes.
In that case, of course, there's no qada, there's no kafara, and the fast she had performed or the fast she observed is valid.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers and contribution to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And we leave you in Allah's care, especially in this blessed month of Ramadan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيط